Hello, and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy Podcasts. Today, we'll explore the huge implications for state and local taxes raised by workers more often untethered from the employer's physical location, sometimes in another state. And now, during the COVID-19 pandemic, remote teleworking has become the rule for many professions. Eileen Scher, CPA, MT, and Mo Bell Jacobs, JD, will bring us up to speed. Scher is a senior staff manager with the AICPA's tax advocacy team, in charge of the AICPA State and Local Tax Technical Resource Panel, or SALT TRP, and Bell Jacobs is a senior manager at RSM National Tax in Washington and a member of the SALT TRP.
So the rules in general, I think, Eileen, are that most workers are taxable for state income tax purposes in the state in which they reside, although I think many states also have some taxability of wages based on the number of days that they're in that state or the amount they earn in that state over a de minimis amount. So why is this such a problematic issue to begin with?
It's complicated, and each state has its own rules, and it involves a lot. Obviously, if you live in one state and you work in another state, you could potentially have to file in both states and then have to claim a credit for taxes paid to the other state. And some states have reciprocity, so then you do not have to have withholding in the other state, in the neighboring state, that there's an agreement, like Maryland and Virginia. So in those cases, you don't. But then if there is no reciprocity agreement, then you would have to have withholding in the state where you're working. And then you have to file a return for where you live, and then also for the where you had your withholding and a tax liability.
So many workers are working at home, and sometimes their home is in a different state than where they, say, went to the office. Why is that a problem?
It's a problem because the states you're going to owe, it depends where you had withholding before the pandemic and then where you're working now during the pandemic. And if the state has provided guidance and will just keep things the way it was before the pandemic, or if it'll be after the, or you may have to have a liability, file a tax return and owe state taxes where you're actually working.
Well, this would be a problem for the employee to know where to pay income taxes, but also for the employer, I presume, to know how to withhold taxes, right, and for which state.
Correct, yes. So there's employer responsibilities as well as the employee. So, and they'll probably have to track where they are and let their employer know where they are working.
Yeah. So what has the AICPA and the SALT TRP been doing in particular with respect to these issues?
We have come up with recommendations that we have suggested to the state CPA societies for them to advocate with their state tax authorities. And during the pandemic, we suggest that they, if the state can keep withholding where the person was working before the pandemic, for during the pandemic, that would be helpful. It would simplify things and not have to keep so much track and change withholdings. 13 states have come out with guidance that would do that, and we're hopeful that more states will do that. And there's also some federal legislation that we also support as well.
You know, I can see that there are lots of competing interests in this. What's most simple and convenient might not necessarily be best for, say, the taxpayer who I'm working from home and I'm in a lower tax state than my office. Shouldn't they have some discretion in the matter?
Yes, and if you can document it, well, it depends what the state, obviously, the state guidance is going to be, but I would suggest you know, you're going to have to see where it is and what your particular state's doing and where you previously worked as well.
Now, you mentioned also that this some of the relief is for the duration of the pandemic, but that's of course an indefinite period. Is that relief going to expire at a date certain in any states you know of, or maybe it already has expired or never was provided in the first place?
Right. It's in the, most of the states are following the executive orders, and as long as there's still an emergency declaration in the state, then I think the guidance would apply. And many states are encouraging telework if it's possible. So I think, at least in those states, definitely that the guidance would apply. And until the emergency and the pandemic's gone, I think that it should apply. You'd have to look at each particular state and what their guidance said.
Well, it's up to the employer pretty much to determine this too, I think. Mo, Eileen mentioned tracking work locations, and I imagine that would become the responsibility of the employer pretty much. What are CPAs recommending to their business clients who have employees to do to track those locations? And what other measures can they take during this pandemic when they might have to determine where their workers are taxable?
Thanks, Paul. I think that's a good question, and it involves a number of considerations. So I think with the pandemic itself, the state income tax withholding, it's a larger burden on employers, no question. What we're seeing, and I'm going to get to your question, but I think what we're seeing right now is what I'm calling virtual transformation. So we have a lot of businesses and they're downsizing some of their office space. They're considering relocating to lower tax jurisdictions, maybe identifying new credits and incentives opportunities. And in many cases, I think businesses are thinking about making these temporary remote workforces permanent. So as businesses encounter this so-called new normal, I think there are many things they need to be thinking about. Now, from a client service perspective, I've seen employees do some really interesting things the last 5 or 6 months. We've had employees move back home with their parents. We have some that are staying at their vacation houses, which are different locations than where they live. We've even had a couple move overseas, maybe back home or just to a better jurisdiction. So I think for employers, this is getting increasingly complicated and burdensome. And they need to, both employers and employees need to think about tracking where this goes and where the employee is working. In addition to owing income taxes in an employee's state of residency without any other specific relief, the employee may also owe income taxes in any jurisdiction they work during this time, whether that's during the pandemic, before the pandemic, or after. This also applies to city and municipality income taxes as well. In some cases, even if the employer doesn't have a requirement to withhold, the employee may still owe income taxes in some of these jurisdictions. So you can see it gets very complicated very quickly.
And with some risk to those employees who might, you know, discover only, you know, next April that they owe state income tax where they didn't think they did.
And that's right. And I think one of the things we're finding is, you know, a lot of middle market businesses, even larger businesses, they don't track payroll like maybe attorneys or accountants do. And not every day, or they don't have systems to track what the employee is doing every single day and where they are doing it. So some businesses, they don't have much insight into where their employees are. This becomes an issue when the employer has to think about, one, withholding, and two, that might affect apportionment for their income tax purposes.
Right. We'll come back to apportionment in just a minute, but I wanted to ask you, Eileen, about one thing you mentioned earlier when we were talking was the convenience of the employer rule, which is, I know, an issue in New York State. What does that mean, and why is that an added complication?
Sure. So the convenience of the employer test, it's been around for many years. And some states, it's really only in Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, Nebraska, New York, and Pennsylvania are those states that where they say that even if you're teleworking on your if you do it voluntarily at the employee's option, it doesn't matter. You still have withholding at the employer's work location, even if you're teleworking in a different state. And it has to be unless the employer requires it. If the employer requires it, then you can have your withholding where you're actually teleworking. So it complicates things.
Yeah, not least of which is whether a recommendation by or an allowance by the employer to work remotely, is that a matter of the employer's convenience? It might not be a requirement. It might be somewhere in between a requirement and an allowance, right? How do businesses, especially those in those convenience of the employer states, parse out a requirement from an allowance?
That's why you go to, there's been some court cases over it.
And, I imagine so.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned that some states have followed the AICPA's guidance or suggestions in providing guidance. So we're up to how many now?
There's 13 states now that do say that the withholding would be where it was prior to the pandemic, like a status quo during the pandemic.
You mentioned apportionment a moment ago, and I think we need to ask about also nexus that any business might have as a result of employees working remotely. Why should an employee working remotely affect where a business pays gross receipts or business income tax or sales tax?
Yeah, I think that's one of our main concerns because in state and local tax, the first question we always ask is there a nexus? Because if that answer is no, there's really no need for other analysis. Having these remote workforces, in a lot of cases for a lot of businesses right now, they're new remote workforces. That can dramatically affect where a company has a state tax nexus footprint. A business is generally considered to be doing business and subject to a state's tax laws if the business is physically located in the state, or maybe if the business has employees in the state. So businesses with employees working remotely, as maybe they would have in an office location, those businesses could find that they're subject to a new state's tax laws based merely on the fact that their employee is now working full-time at home. So establishing nexus through a remote workforce, this can cause a number of state and local tax considerations. It can impact income tax, franchise tax, certainly you mentioned gross receipts taxes, and also sales and use tax obligations. An employee living in a different state would not normally create nexus for the employer, and we're talking about where the employee sleeps at night. That's generally not a nexus consideration. But we're in a different environment now. We have a lot of employees working from home. So they're doing their normal office duties at their home location. And because of that, those activities might attribute nexus to the employer now, where the employer may not already have nexus.
Hmm. So, Eileen, I believe you've mentioned that the AICPA has also made some recommendations regarding nexus.
Yes, we have that. We've encouraged the state societies to work with their states' tax authorities to provide that an employee in a state due to shelter-in-place restrictions would not create nexus and apportionment for tax purposes. Mm-hmm. And 14 states have adopted those recommendations. So the business and the employers are protected there if they do have remote workers during the pandemic in those states.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good. Now, Mo, I was also wondering, again, about public law 86
sure.
272.
So some businesses may have nexus in the state. And this is after that first question, is there nexus? So in this case, some businesses they'll already have nexus, but they were not otherwise subject to an income tax liability in that state because of this federal law called Public Law 86272. And essentially what this law is from 1959, from a different era, it's basically a federal safe harbor prohibiting a state from imposing a net income tax on a seller's business activity if that activity is essentially limited to the solicitation of orders for sales of tangible personal property. So that's a mouthful, and there's a lot to unpack here, but it's a narrow safe harbor involving tangible personal property. And a lot of businesses these days are service businesses, so it doesn't apply for as much as it used to back in 1959. Mm-hmm. Now, what's important here is an employee working remotely from their residence. Okay, so they're working in their residence in the state where maybe the business had a Public Law 86272 protection. Because that employee is now doing their normal business duties at their home, that may cause that protection to be lost. I think what's important there is Eileen mentioned that there are 13 states that have come out with some guidance that says, well, we're going to give you a nexus safe harbor during this COVID period. But not all those states have addressed 86272. So even if there is some nexus safe harbor or a withholding safe harbor of some sort, that may not apply to the 86272 protection. So if an employee's activity working from their home office goes beyond that protection, that business may now have an income tax liability where they didn't before.
Yeah, because that employee is doing something other than soliciting orders for tangible person property.
Exactly.
Yeah. So part of what could bring some order to this slightly chaotic system, I understand it, is some federal legislation that is pending at this point, but has been introduced, and in at least one case, I think, is in a pending bill that has been put forward as perhaps the next pandemic relief bill, right, Eileen?
Yes, we're excited. It is Section 403 of S-4318, the HEALS Act that was introduced by the Senate Republicans. It includes the mobile workforce provision that AICPA has been supporting for many years that really would provide consistency and uniformity and certainty to the whole variety of withholding rules and days that you have to be within a state in a non-resident state working before you're taxed or anything. And it would provide normally 30 days, a de minimis rule, before a non-resident would have withholding or owe state taxes in a non-resident state where they're working. And during the pandemic, it would extend it to 90 days. So that gives quite a bit of time to be working in a state before you would owe withholding and income tax liability. Also, there's another part of the bill that would basically do what AICPA had suggested and say, we'll just keep it at your employer's, your withholding is where it was before the pandemic at your employer work location. Or you could have the option, it does give a lot of flexibility, and the employer could withhold at the remote location if that's what the employee and employer was doing and they were able to track that, then that would be okay. And it would last the whole pandemic, either the earlier of the end of the year, end of 2020, or when 90% of the workers return to the office at the same time. So it gives a significant amount of time that it would work. And it would also, after the pandemic ends, which hopefully does eventually end, it would, as of now, it would be if the 30-day rule would last at least through 2024, as what the bill's proposed.
So
there's a lot of good things.
Chances of it passing? Does anyone know?
We're hopeful. It's made it this far. We're happy to see it in the Senate Republican proposal.
That's farther than it's gotten before, I suppose, right?
It has passed the House several times. Mm. It didn't obviously didn't have the pandemic provision. It was just a 30-day de minimis rule. but we've been, AICPA has been supporting it for quite a while, and it's passed several times in the House.
Okay. Thank you both for being with us on this podcast, and this is a very complex matter having to do with so many states, I know, and so many of our listeners and readers, I'm sure can benefit, but they'd want to know what's going on in my state, wouldn't they? How can they find out?
They can track, they can look at our guidance chart that we're keeping track of. It's posted on our website. It's in the Tax COVID website on AICPA.org. And also we have a tax advocacy COVID page that also has information. There's blogs, there's newsletter, the tax advisor. We're going to have another, definitely check out all the publications from AICPA, and we will keep track of what's going on.
Mo and Eileen, thank you both so much for being with us today, and best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.